John chapter 5 this morning. I'd almost forgot a while ago I wanted to mention too. I thought about Brother Ralph when the choir was singing, "I'll meet you in the morning." I was thinking about Brother Hatfield. He had a liver transplant this week, and things are going pretty well, aren't they, brother? And Christmas morning, they put him a new liver in. Ain't that something? And God's helping him. And I tell you, without it, his days here on this earth were numbered. And we know our days are numbered anyway. You know what I mean. He was getting to where he was going to be near that other shore. But I'm glad the Lord has given him that new liver. And glad for the family that was willing. Let's pray for Brother Hatfield. Pray for that family as well. I want to read it this morning in John chapter 5 and verse number 39. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures." He said, "For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. And I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, or accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" It's in my heart this morning to preach out of this text for a little while, and I'll introduce it, the message, from several other texts, but let's pray before we get started. Father, I sure do love you this morning, and thank you for loving me. God, I thank you for my church. Lord, my heart's been heavy. Lord, since I heard that statement last night in that meeting, and God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just help us here, Lord, that our hearts would forever be burning, Lord, with the love of God. God, that we wouldn't be a church that's cold, and we wouldn't be a church that's lukewarm, but we'd be a church that's set ablaze, Lord, by the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I believe that of my people. I believe they're excited about the things of God and the opportunities that you've put before us. And God, that we're doing what we can to reach our community and to reach our families. And God, I thank you for that. I praise you for it. And Lord, I pray this morning that there's a soul here that doesn't know Jesus. They can't tell us the time. They can't take us to the place where the Lord saved them by his marvelous grace. I pray that today might be the day, Lord. This might be the time. This might be the place that they'd put their trust in the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. In thy name we pray. Amen. And amen. As I prayed, I was thinking, one of our deacons, Brother Houston, was in the meeting last night. I was thinking of a statement that was made last night in the meeting. One of the preachers, with tears in his eyes and a broken voice, he said, "I believe my congregation would make up the Laodicean church." And you know, the Laodicean church is labeled as lukewarm. Yeah. And you know, my heart breaks, amen, for that. But I can honestly say as a pastor, I don't believe we have a lukewarm church. Amen. There may be some lukewarm Christians hanging around. Amen. But I believe if you'll hang around long enough, God will light a fire under you too. Amen. But I praise the Lord for our church, and I praise the Lord for His goodness and for His Spirit. And I'd just like to say, keep the fire burning. Amen. Let's stay on the firing line for the Lord. I want to give you some things this morning that's in my heart, and just take my time and share a few things with you. First of all, we as Baptists for many, many years now have used a term. The term would be eternal security. Now, I'm not going to preach this morning on eternal security, but I do want to introduce the message talking about that just a little bit. What I want to preach on this morning is eternal insecurity, just the opposite of security, and show it to you here in the Bible the way that God has revealed it to me in my heart. Eternal security, I like what one preacher said. He said, you know, that you can't find that term in the Bible. That's true. You can't find the term rapture in the Bible either, but the truth is taught. Amen. And the truth of eternal security is taught in the Bible. It's used in phrases like everlasting life, eternal life. Amen. Jesus said over there, He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And He said, they follow me. And He said, I give unto them eternal life. If I didn't have another verse of scripture, that'd be enough for me. Amen. My Lord said, I've given you something, preacher. And what I gave you is eternal. Amen. It's the very life of God that I've given you. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Knowing that I have eternal life does not make me want to sin. It makes me want to serve. Amen. It makes me want to serve the Lord that loved me enough to give me this precious gift. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I could believe the doctrine of losing your salvation and understand, excuse me, not believe it, but understand maybe a little better where people are coming from. If they would answer these questions that I'm going to give you just in a moment, if they would answer them in a certain way, but they never do. I want to give you this morning. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now listen to verse 38. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, I'm just one of those that believes if you're in, you're in. And I'm one of those that believes if you're in forever. Amen. And I praise the Lord for eternal life. Now listen, the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. Now notice, it's not know that you will have at some point in the future. I've asked people before that do not believe in the security of the believer. I've said, now listen, I want to ask you a question. When does a person receive? First of all, I'd ask them, what is the gift of God? And then without fail, they'll say it's eternal life. I said, okay, now when does a person receive the gift of God? And that without fail, I've never heard one person say anything but this. Even people that don't believe in the security of the believer, they'll say, when a person trusts Jesus as their Savior. I agree with that. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
But the wrath of God abides on that individual. And so if a person would say, well, you get that gift when you get to heaven, then I could understand why how things could be up in the air. But if God gives us the gift of eternal life, and something were to ever happen, He does give it to us when we trust Jesus, but if something were ever happened that would not be so, then it was not eternal to begin with. Amen? And God's Word would not be true. So this morning, I wanted to magnify for just a few minutes what it means to be eternally saved, to have everlasting life. It is a wonderful gift from God. But now I want to go into this morning. And I want to say that in Kingsport, and could be that there's someone even in this congregation, definitely in this city, definitely in our county, definitely in this state, definitely in the United States of America, definitely in this world, there are people this morning that are like this group of people that I read about this morning, that are very religious externally, but that are missing the gift of God internally and eternally. I'll show you what I mean. Jesus said here, search the Scriptures, for in them you think. I want you to know something. It's one thing to think I wear a size 13, and it's another thing to know that I wear a size 13. It's one thing to think that I weigh 200, none of your business pounds. And it's another thing to know that I weigh 200, none of your business pounds. It's one thing to think I'm a father, and another thing to know I'm a father. It's one thing to think I'm married, and another thing to know I'm married. It's one thing to think I'm saved, and it's another thing to know by the grace of God I've been saved by His wonderful grace. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus said here, you think you have eternal life. These were people that knew the Word of God, but they did not know the God of the Word. They knew the Scripture, but they didn't know who the Scripture was pointing them to. And I'll give you some things this morning that I pray will be a help and be a blessing. We need to get a burden. Sometimes as long as people are in church, we think they're all right. We don't really get a burden sometimes for folk that are in church. But I want you to know sometimes, listen, we ought to be a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Ghost. There might be somebody sitting alongside of you that needs the Lord. Amen. There might be somebody sitting alongside of you that is not eternally secure, but they think they have eternal life. Amen. And yet they do not know the Savior down in their heart and in their life. I'll give you some things that will magnify this as we go along. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I wrote this down. They loved the written word. That's what these Pharisees did. They loved the written word, but they completely missed the living Word. They loved the Bible, so to speak. They loved the law of God, so to speak. And yet they missed the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, preacher, when is it eternal insecurity? When is it? Here we see in the Bible that this group of people, number one, they missed the love of God. Look at verse 42. He said, I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Can I say something this morning? If your pastor's standing here and he does not have the love of God in him, he's lost and on his way to hell. Amen. A person that's saved, God put His love in that individual when He saved them. Matter of fact, the Bible said it was shed abroad, Brother Ron, in our heart by the Holy Ghost which was given unto us. I worry about folks that don't have love in their life. Amen. Love for sinners. Love for the saints. Love for the Bible, the Scripture, and love for the church of the living God. Amen. And so the Bible said here, they didn't have the love of God in them. They didn't only miss the love of God, but they missed the man of God. Watch what the Bible said. Let me show you down here in verse number 46. He said, for had you believed Moses? They missed it. Amen. They missed the man of God. You say, preacher, well, they had a lot of confidence in Moses. Oh, no. No, no, no. They missed it. I'm telling you, this man of God, my friend, you say, preacher, I don't understand. Read on. The Bible said, had you believed him, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. There's people so ignorant, and I don't say that in a derogatory way, but they don't even understand that Christ is in the Old Testament. But the Word of God tells us Moses wrote of him. It was all about him. They miss the man of God. They miss the love of God. And they miss the message of God's Word. Amen. And I tell you, we're living in a country. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me carefully. We've got politician after politician after politician that says they're a Christian, that says they're a child of God. And I'm telling you, there ain't no way under God's sun. You could, my friend, vote the way some of them vote and love God and love the Word of God and love the Bible. No way. No way. There are Pharisees here. There are Sadducees here. There are people that think they have eternal life. But these are they that testify me. He said, preacher, how can I tell if I have eternal life? Well, let me just ask you this. Do you have Jesus? I'll tell you what, if you have Jesus living in your heart, you have eternal life. If you have eternal life, you have Jesus living in your heart. If you have Jesus living in your heart, you have joy in your heart. You have peace in your heart. You have love in your heart. You can be long-suffering with others. You can be forgiving to others. That's what He gives us when He saves us by His grace. But here's the crowd. Here's them you think. Let me go through these things hurriedly this morning. What happens, preacher, when a person is eternally insecure? You remember this? Jesus said, many are going to say to me in that day. Oh, how sad. Do you understand? These are not barroom people. Brother Mike, these are not people that come out of the house of ill repute. These are not people that have robbed and stolen all their life and been drug addicts. These are religious people. Jesus is going to say to them in that day, many are going to say, He said, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And my Lord will say, depart from me, all ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. How sad it would be, my friend, to hear those words in the day of judgment. I never knew you. I'll tell you this morning. You say, preacher, this is serious. You better believe it's serious. And I'd rather not preach it, but God put it in my heart and I have to. Amen. I believe with all of my heart this morning, there are many in this world that think they have eternal life, but they don't know the God of heaven through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you know Him, your life changes. You called on Him and you know that He lifted that burden of sin off of you and He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me give you several things quickly. It's eternal insecurity. Number one, when it's a faith that does not work. When it is a faith that does not work. James said, you show me your faith without works, without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You say, preacher, do you believe in a work salvation? No, I do not. I believe in a salvation that works. I believe, my friend, when we get saved by the grace of God, that we're just like Isaiah. God showed me this last week. I shared it with one of our men. I can't remember who. But you got Isaiah chapter 6 where God and Isaiah had that encounter. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I'll tell you something. It's no wonder, brother, that in chapter 7 and chapter 9, he gets to see Jesus because he's already stood there and said, hey, here am I, Lord. Send me. He had surrendered, amen, to what God wanted him to do. And then God showed him the Savior that was coming into the world. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe this morning when you have a real faith, it wants to do something for the Lord. Listen, we're living in a generation. Listen to me. We're living in a generation where people have a faith that they think will take them to heaven, and it won't even take them to the house of God. Dangerous. To my friend, think that a faith that would take you to heaven when it won't even take you to the house of God, won't even take you to your knees in prayer, won't even take you to the Word of God to study. Dangerous. Won't even take you to your neighbor's house to invite them to church. Won't even take you to your grandchildren and read them the Christmas story. Read them the Word of God. Amen. I believe this faith, my friend, that God gives when it's real and when it's genuine, when it's not a think-so, hope-so, maybe-so, but when it's a no-so salvation, it'll work for the glory of God Almighty. It's insecurity when it's a faith that does not work. Secondly, it's insecurity, eternal insecurity, when it's a form that does not worship. He said, "Preacher, I don't know what you mean." Well, the Bible said in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And the Bible said that men are going to be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And the Bible said they're going to have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Can I say this to you this morning? Say it in love. I did not come to this place today to be seen. I come to worship the one that we cannot see. Hallelujah. But there are people sitting in churches all over this town, and the only reason they showed up is so somebody would see them. Oh God, help us this morning, not just to have a form of godliness, but my friend, to have faith that makes us want to worship the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior we have this morning. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I'm in the habit of going to church." I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm for habits that are good, but we ought to have something more to habit going on. Amen. We ought to go because we love Him, because we want to worship Him. The Pharisees, they went to be seen. They prayed to be heard. If they was going to put something in the offering plate, they dropped it nice and loud so everybody could hear it. Amen. Oh, tell you this morning, the Bible said they think they have eternal life, but they're lost and undone without God or His Son. Oh, my friend, this morning, when it's a faith that does not work, it's eternal insecurity. When it's a form that does not worship, it's eternal insecurity. I'm going to give you something this morning. Listen to me, church, Bible way. Please listen to me right here. I don't believe we have an ounce of that going on around here. But when it's a fellowship that does not welcome, how many believe sinner folk ought to be welcome? Amen. How many believe the saints of God, even though they ain't crossing all their T's just right and dotting all their I's just right, they ought to be welcome in the fellowship of God's people? Amen. How in the world are we going to help them if we drive them off and turn a cold shoulder to them? Amen. But I'm telling you, this crowd that Jesus is preaching to, they didn't want to have nothing to do with them lowlifes. Matter of fact, they said, "He eats with sinners. He receives them, Brother Johnny, and He eats with them." God deliver us from a youth group that would turn a cold shoulder to somebody just because maybe they don't dress like they do or act like they do. Hey, if we're saved by the grace of God, we ought to have a warmth in our heart and a welcome in our heart for those that need the Lord. Amen. Brother John, I ought to be willing to skip my handshake with you to make sure I shake hands with them. We can shake hands tomorrow. Amen. Talk on the telephone and fellowship. I'm telling you, there's a lot of places, my friend. If you go in that church, you have to break in. And it had not ought to be that way. You ought to be welcomed in the house of God. Welcome in the house of God. You said, "Preacher, they made some mistakes." You know, that ought to be the reason number one, that they're welcome. How many of us have made our fair share? Say amen. And the God of glory had grace on us. and forgave us. My friend, listen this morning. When it's a form that does not worship, when it's a faith that does not work, and when it's a fellowship that does not welcome. You say, preacher, surely there's no churches around here like that. I'll tell you something right now. There is. There is. I've had people tell me, preacher, I went in and nobody ever spoke to me. Not here. Thank God. I'm going to tell you something. If it ever gets that way here, we've got a bad problem. Say amen. We need folks to speak to people and welcome them in the fellowship of the Lord. Let me give you this. Number four, if you're writing them down, I don't have numbers on mine, but I can count. Amen. Number four, when it's a flesh that does not war. You say, preacher, I don't understand. How many knows that after we get saved, we still have flesh? It still gets out of hand, don't it? We still open our big old mouth before we kick our brain in gear. Amen. But you say, preacher, I don't understand, what's the point in this. Here's the point. We have flesh, but when we get saved, we have a new man living in us. And something started that day. It was a war. Brother Rick, the old man still wants to have his way. And the new man is saying, hey, put that old man down. Put on the new man. Amen. Walk with God. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. And I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, it's a war. But you know what worries me? People that walk in the flesh, live in the flesh, and say they're Christians, and there's never even a war going on. There's never even a battle. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what that Bible says. I don't care what that church says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. Those are people that think they have eternal life. Because I will tell you, when you get born again by the Spirit of God, you do care what that Bible says. And you do care, amen, what's right and what's wrong. And when you do wrong, it bothers you, amen. And there's a war and a struggle that goes on inside of you, amen. How many believes that this morning? When that flesh is not at war, it's not eternal security. It's eternal insecurity. Let me give you a couple of things hurriedly. When it's a false prophet that does not withstand. The Bible said, having done all to stand. The Bible said over in the book of 2 Corinthians, and no marvel, for even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You said, preacher, you told us that in congregations across this county and across this city, there are people that do not have eternal life. I said, amen right there. But let me give you another thing. There are pulpits where men are standing, amen, in this city and in this county and in this state. You say, preacher, how could you make such a statement? I'm telling you, when people are standing up preaching, that you can come down here and sign a little card, or let us sprinkle a little water, or dip you in a hole and you'll be all right. They're preaching a false gospel and they're a false prophet. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's false. And my friend, there are those, my friend, this morning, just like there was in Jesus' day, they're false prophets. The Bible said you must be born again. And a man that's preaching another way is preaching a false gospel. A man that's preaching another Jesus. You say, oh, I hear some merely good, smooth preaching. I'll tell you something, pray for me. Pray my preaching never smooths out. If I ever get smooth, pray God take me to the woodshed. Amen. Paul said my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hell is still hell. Heaven is still heaven. There's still only one way from earth to heaven, and that's through the blood of God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, I believe with all of my heart, there are people today, they don't even care to call the name of Jesus. And they're smooth in their approach. But then you get to asking them, was he born of a virgin? Well, that's not important. Oh, yeah, Yes, it is. Why do you think the Bible said they come preaching another Jesus and another gospel? Oh, is he equal with God? Is he God incarnate? The Jesus of the Bible is. Somebody say amen. He said, preacher, it really doesn't matter. See, they've even got gospel tracts out now. Not gospel tracts. They're presented as gospel tracts. They say he was really just in a swoon. He didn't really die. But our Bible said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But thank God I'm looking at fruit this morning, because our Savior gave his life that we might have life. He said, preacher, I don't understand. Let me just tell you, everybody's got one of these under their arm and standing in one of these pulpits is not a God-called man of God. You say, preacher, how in the world can we tell? I'll tell you how. Line it up with the book. If it don't line up with a book, it don't matter whether it's me preaching or somebody else, junk it. Amen. But if it lines up with the book, you better line up with that preaching. Because God wants to help us. Not that we think we have eternal life, but we know that we have eternal life. A couple more things, number, whatever it is. I told you I don't have number and I've lost count now. When it's a forgiveness that does not witness. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What I mean is this, Brother John. If God forgave you, and I believe he did, you're going to want to tell somebody about it. The woman at the well, you remember? What was the first thing she did? She went back to town. And she said, come see a man. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that I'm very, 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 very concerned about anybody that says they're a Christian and never tells anybody else what the Lord means to them or what the Lord has done for them. I'm concerned what it would be to have eternal insecurity, to die thinking that you're all right, only to understand in eternity that it was wrong because it did not begin at the cross of Calvary. I want to give you just a couple of things quickly in closing. The Bible talks about our future. How many believes in the future? Those that are redeemed, those that are born again, we win. I've already read the last chapter of the last book, and we win. But for those that are eternally insecure, they have a future that does not win. They lose. That bothers me. They lose. You see, that could be one of my children or one of my grandchildren. He said, preacher, don't you know for sure your children are saved? The only one I know for sure about's me. And by the way, that's the only one you know for sure about. I love my precious wife, but I'm not trading with her. Amen. And she shouldn't want to trade with me either. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And the Lord Jesus put that love in our heart. I want to say this. When you get on the foundation, when you get on the solid rock, it's a foundation that does not waver. You don't have to worry about it. When you get saved, you're on the rock. You're heaven bound. Amen. I don't lay down at night and worry about whether I'm going to go to hell if I die in my sleep. Because I know that I know that I know that I've been redeemed by the grace of God. My friend, this morning, Jesus, I believe, was warning these people. Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. I don't find this in the text right here. The thought is certainly being proclaimed. But if we search the scripture, we ought to be willing to search our heart. The Word of God said this, examine yourselves. to see whether you be in the faith. And if you're in the faith this morning, you are eternally secure in the arms of a God that said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. But my friend, if your trust is in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in trouble this morning. And God wants you to understand that there is no other way. Acts 4:12 said it like this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Do you know Jesus this morning? We've come to the end of the year. Jeremiah said the harvest is past. And the summer is ended. And we are not saved. I tell you this morning, if you're here and you're saved, you ought to shout glory. I'm so glad that I know. I know. But if you're here this morning and you're not sure, you're not saved, you're thinking when you don't know it, it ain't worth it. To die thinking you're right, only to find out you're wrong, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here today. God, I'm not sure why you burdened my heart this way this morning. Lord, every one of us probably knows somebody that thinks they have eternal life. They go through the religious motions. Lord, there's never been a change in their heart. Never been a change in their life. God, this morning I pray that you'd help us with Judgment Day honesty. That, Lord, if there's someone here, maybe more than one, maybe everyone here, Lord, knows that they've been saved and no doubt about it. Lord, in a crowd this size, I believe you've spoken to some heart. I remember the 6.5 years, Lord, of sitting faithfully on the church pew, going through the motions. But inside, I was so empty, so fearful that I would be found out. God, I'm glad you found me out that day. I'm glad, Lord, you give me that grace to turn from religion and just turn to Jesus. God, I pray this morning, Lord, help us.